Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today I have on the show Josh Cowell from Broken Myth Studios. Josh, Joshua, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So really appreciate your time. You are a thriving young entrepreneur. You have been in business for how long now?
We've been in business since April of 2007.
2007. So yeah. That is, and I am a former client.
That's true.
We're going to talk about that.
That's true.
We're going to talk about
hopefully
that.
Good things, right?
I enjoyed the experience tremendously.
Well, that's good.
And we'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
And about how you helped me and what you do. So Broken Myth Studios.
Yep.
You're here in Fairport, New York. You got a great, cool, funky, exposed brick wall office type of thing going on. I knew you when you had more of a you know, traditional office, we'll say. It was still cool, but this is much cooler. So tell us, number one, what the heck is a Broken Myth and why does it have a studio? And what do you guys do? Tell us about your business.
Sure. Well, so we started way back in April 2007. My business partner, it was Aaron Niebuhr, our creative director. And my father was actually our gray hair and
the advisor.
The money guy too, right?
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
When we started, our goal was really to get into the video game industry. So Aaron, our creative director, again, he comes from the gaming industry himself, working there in 3D, a lot of graphic in the graphic world there. And so what we started to do was develop games or assets for games in the video game industry, and quickly realized around the time when the iPhone came out, there's a lot of really awesome tried and true video game technology that could be applied in the business world. And so talking with my father at the time, who was our advisor, how could this work? So we just kind of spitballed some ideas and really found that a lot of the technology in the gaming world could really benefit the business world for productivity, engagement. So taking those skills and bringing them over into the business world, that's the first myth that we broke, was the gaming industry and the business world can come together. Fast forward 11 years
now. It's like the chocolate meeting the peanut butter.
Exactly.
Who thought? Who knew?
Exactly. And there's value when you can find technology that is tried and true in one area, but is very disruptive in another, and disruptive in a good way. And so now when you hear things like gamification, that didn't exist when we started. That was actually a bad word, games in the business world. Now it's everywhere. And in fact, it's overused.
You guys were kind of pioneers.
Well, I don't know if we were pioneers, but
you're being
we were trying to do that early on, right? So,
well, who doesn't like to play a game? You could be 85. Who doesn't like to play a game?
Exactly.
And if you're in business, you're going to probably be more engaged, enjoy mm-hmm. the experience more if there's some, you know, game or competition involved, right?
Sure. Yeah, and I mean, look right behind you. You can see all the board games back there. So what we try to do here in our work, even if it's not a game, it could be a training simulation, it could be a marketing piece, something that will pull out that engagement side. What makes a game fun? Right? What makes it fun for you, Dave? What makes it fun for any learner out there? If we can tap into that audience and provide that experience, whether it be training or marketing, your engagement level goes through the roof. So that's really what we're about, is just engaging our audiences through digital means.
Cool. So give me an example so our listeners can just really make it click in their head. Who's a
sure.
who's a client that that has a business use for gamification?
Let me think. Because I want to give a good example.
Putting you on the spot, right?
Yeah, that's true. So I think, one that comes to mind, we did some work for a medical device company here locally, Ortho Clinical Diagnostics, where we would take their product, which is a blood analyzer, right? And give training to technicians where they could have a full 3D simulation of that blood analyzer. So if they get caught, say where they don't know what the next step is and they're on the scene in a hospital and they don't know how to fix something, they can go into the simulation and in three-dimensional space, start pulling the components apart and see what the next steps are, drill down into some information. And we also do that in the automotive industry too. So I don't know if you...
So training is a great way then, because training traditionally, when you mention, hey, welcome to XYZ company, we're going to put you through training for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Probably your traditional response is, oh, the rolled eyes, right? But mixing gamification into training,
yeah,
I'm going to say not only makes it more enjoyable experience, but I'm going to guess that the information gets stored better with the new employee because yep. more senses are being used, more engagement exactly. going, kind of going deeper in the brain, I would imagine, right?
For sure. Yeah, when yeah. you can visualize something in 3D, there's over 30%, roughly 30%. Now, different studies show different things, but what we found is about 30% more retention because if you think of, you know, you look at a 2D image of a heart,
yeah,
and then you look at a 3D image of a heart, you're using all different parts of your brain to draw on things you've actually seen.
Retention. That's the big word there. Exactly. Retention. So you guys have to call that New York State insurance course. You ever take that insurance course? To, you know, if you get a ticket and you got to lower your.
You know, no, because I don't
speed. You're fine. Yeah. You're, well, I.
They just don't catch me speeding. That's.
Being Italian, I speed, and I do get caught every now and then. And I was getting pretty close to that number where they say, hey, you're not going to have your license anymore. So I took this course. It was the most boring course ever. I mean, it was text. I had to read, memorize, take yeah. a test. Read, memorize, take a text, take a test. And, man, if that had some gamification to it,
yep.
man, I might just speed just to take that test again, right?
That's true. The best compliment we can get is when people want to take more of what we've built. Right? Because they enjoyed the experience. And I think what you find now is a lot of people overuse the word gamification because they're trying to make up ground of this is cool, this is exciting. So actually gamification started as a dirty word because it didn't belong in the workplace. Now it's used everywhere. So it's kind of a dirty word and lost its meaning along the way. But I think what you summarized is exactly what we try to achieve is engagement, retention, and then we've done our job in terms of making sure that it's a valuable.
You're creating an experience.
Exactly.
That increases engagement and retention. I like that. It's almost like the word entrepreneur. I mean, it used to be a dirty word. You know, when I started my business in 1995, you know, being an entrepreneur was like, oh, you don't fit in at one of the big companies? What, are you selling watches out of your trench coat? You know, there were no courses for entrepreneurs. It was like, and then, you know, 5-10 years later, you know, Simon School has courses in entrepreneurship. Yeah. There's like majors in entrepreneurship. Now it's cool to be an entrepreneur. But when I started, that word was like, you know, you basically like did not fit in. And we're kind of like, why? Oh, you have to start your own company because you're not really good at other companies, you know? And I'm like, I guess so. So I called these guys, Broken Myth Studios, about, we figured out maybe like 7-8 years ago, which is crazy. But I started a new division at my company called Next Step Academy. And the whole idea was to teach life skills and career skills to high school students. And we wanted to make it fun. So a mutual friend, Joe Casera, hi Joe, introduced us. And Joe was consulting with me at the time. And we created nextstepacademy.com, which was courses in life skills like, interviewing skills, dressing for success skills, distracted driving, how not to do it skills. And we built a pretty robust site, which at this point it's moved on to being more of an HR site, HR training. And I moved myself out of that company as I do. I'm the mad scientist that birds the baby, get it to a certain level, and I move on. Yeah. That tends to be my
big idea guy.
The crazy idea guy. So I had a great experience with you guys, and we're going to talk about that. Also want to talk about Joe Casera quickly. So Joe was my consultant at the time. Like I said, introduced us. I had another woman on the team at the time whose name was Katie. They met during this process of building Next Step Academy. Lo and behold, got married. So they really have us to thank.
Yeah, more you than me.
Well, I'm trying to spread the love. Yeah. But, you know, that whole experience, you know. The rhythm of meetings we had.
Did you ever get a thank you card from them?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, I'm kidding. Katie thanked me.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, on that note, we got to take a quick break. Josh, I'm here with Josh Cowell from Broken Myth Studios, and you are listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. We'll be right back.
Join Victor's own David Mamano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance.
Call to receive your free DVD videos and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-956-7179 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-956-7179. ThermoSpa's, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7179 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee your company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-354-9157. That's 1-800-354-9157. Again, 1-800-354-9157.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
All right, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Welcome back. I'm Dave Mamano, your host. I'm here with a great local businessman, Josh Cowell from Broken Myth Studios. He's got a great partner, Aaron Neighbor?
Niebuhr.
Yeah. I never got his last name right. Sorry, Aaron. Niebuhr. Well, I just remember the first name, right?
Yeah, true.
And Broken Myth Studios, right here on Liftbridge Lane in Fairport, New York. Great, cool offices. And Josh and his team, they have a really cool company where they'll take your business project, your business training, and from a software's perspective, design it into a gamification experience, which we talked about, increases the retention, increases the enjoyment of the experience. And a lot of what you're doing is training, right?
Yeah, we do a mix between training and marketing. So anything that's digital, creating digital experiences, that's where we live. So a lot of it's training. A lot of it can be in marketing because obviously you want to engage your audiences through those marketing tools that we see, you know, yeah. Whether it's a website or a mobile application or even a mini game. So we've created some mini games too where yeah. You can engage with the brand that way.
And do you find most people are still doing stuff on their computer, laptop, et cetera, or are a lot of people using their phones?
It depends on the audience, right? So heavily, Aaron, this is why he's good at what he does, looks specifically at user scenarios and user types. So if we work in the automotive industry, a lot of people are using laptops, depending on who they are. But then you also have technicians on the field that are using their cell phones regularly. So where do they learn the most? It really depends. It's a situational thing. So we really have to look at it per industry. You know?
And you have to adapt what you're making
yeah.
to make sure that it's, you know, the navigation, the look, the feel, the
exactly.
functionality is working, whether they're using a Mac, PC,
mobile, tablet.
What type of mobile? Do you still have to worry about BlackBerry or the kind of out by now?
BlackBerry and Windows, not so much.
Yeah. So it's Apple, it's obviously Samsung. What about Google? What about the Google?
Yeah, the Android platform and the yeah. iOS platform are really the two main areas that we focus, as well as Windows.
Yeah. What's a Google phone? The Pixel? What's a Google?
The Pixel 2, I think, is out right now.
Yeah, that's a Google phone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about switching, but I'm so intertwined in the Apple world now.
I am too.
You know, their phone, I use their calendar, I use their email. I'm in. They got me, you know? I don't want to switch all that stuff, you know? So, very cool. So, Josh, so now you and Aaron, are you guys RIT grads, if I remember correctly?
Aaron went to RIT for a short while. Okay. I did not. Okay. I went to Houghton College.
Oh, yeah, Houghton, sure.
In New York State.
Yeah.
And then Aaron went to Columbus College of Art and Design.
Okay. So he's kind of an artist by trade. Are you more of a software guy by trade?
No, I went for just business. At the time, they called it a BS degree because that's partly what it is.
But you're full of it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a business degree, and then I had a minor in accounting as well.
So you just hire great programmers, software developers.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, even in college, I started, I was in a band with a bunch of friends, and we started a little entertainment company called Blue Bowl Entertainment. And the whole purpose was just so we could look bigger than we were.
Yeah.
Our booking agency will get in touch with you. But we ended up having, we had to write a whole business plan and a whole, kind of documentation around what are we doing. And the school actually gave us an office and a phone and, practice space and all this stuff. So that, I think that was like my first foray into entrepreneurship and figuring out, okay, how do I do this? And so my dad was a huge influence on me as far as that goes, even to today. Yeah. So
how did you and Aaron come together to start this business?
Well, after I graduated from Houghton College, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So, and Aaron had just moved back. He had a son, and he was doing some freelance work for a game studio in Texas. And at the time, after graduating, we thought, well, what if we started this company? So at the time, I actually worked at Target because I needed some income.
Sure.
But I was working, 4 a.m. until 12:30. And then when 12:30 hit, we'd go meet at Leaf and Bean Coffee Shop, and that was our first office. So
cool.
I'd work a full day, and then I'd go to the coffee shop, and we'd draft up our business plan, and then talked with my father about it, and that's really how the business started, is right out of that.
Yeah. And you guys knew each other from high school, or?
He married my sister.
Oh!
Yeah, so.
I might have forgotten about that. Or
yeah.
So, okay.
So this was really a family business that started.
Little risk.
A lot of risk.
If that falls, the business falls apart, there's some family stuff,
right? It's true. And there have been times where it's been tense, right? You can't be, I think one of the stresses of being on your own is you're responsible for your paycheck. And more importantly, actually where I feel the biggest sense of responsibility was I'm responsible for everybody else's paycheck.
Yeah. How many people you got here?
So we have 12 people here
right
now. So
that's great. I had a guest earlier, last week, Ben DeGeorge from St. Pauli Textile, and he's got it was his father's company, and then he's got three brothers, and they're all there. Now the father's retiring a little bit, but there's three brothers there, and I said, God bless you, because there's business, there's family, very two crazy dynamics to manage, and then you mix them, and you're really playing with fire.
It's rare to have a relationship like that.
Yeah.
So I do think that our relationship between the three of us is very unique. We've also gone through a big change over the last year. So I don't know if you're aware, but we did sell our company.
Tell me the big change.
The big change that we sold our company to Universal Technical
Institute. I did hear that. Yeah.
So that's certainly put a change to a lot of what we do. But
You're rich.
Well, I don't know about that, but
you're buying me lunch. Yeah.
There's your water.
Give me water. In the next step, Mark.
And it did not come from the tap. We use a filter system here, so we can afford that.
Yeah. As far as I know, yeah.
So that's been a huge change. But the very cool thing about that is I still feel like we are. Well, we have to report to our mothership right back home, and they give us a ton of. Support.
Where are they located?
Scottsdale, Arizona. So okay. The parent company is called Universal Technical Institute.
Mm-hmm.
So they teach 10,000.
Yeah, I used to be the one of my advertisers when I had Next Step.
Really?
Next Step U magazine. Yep.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So a lot of our work in the medical device space played over into the automotive space, and they're in the automotive space. They saw us. We were going to do a project together, and then through that said, well, why don't we? Would you be open to acquisition? We weren't even thinking of it at the time.
Oh, they came to you.
We met through a mutual client.
Yeah.
And then the conversation came where they said, hey, what if we acquired you? Right.
Yeah.
So long story short, right. But essentially what we saw was an opportunity to take this business because we're still a subsidiary. So we still control kind of, what clients we bring in. Our mission is separate. but also unified at the same time. So because of that, I still feel like we're really responsible for everybody here.
You're still able to act like an entrepreneur, yet you have an umbrella that, that helps out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So one of the worst things about being an entrepreneur is having to worry about payroll, right? two or three times a month.
Yep.
So has that burden been taken away from you now?
It has.
Yeah, that's nice. So you're sleeping better.
But at the same time, I'm still responsible to make sure that we're acting as a company. Our company better be producing or else I do have to worry about payroll, right? So it's a different worry. It's a worry in that it's not budgets, coming out of my bank account, right?
You're making budgets now.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
you are a young guy. And even when I was dealing with you 8 years ago, I was like, this guy's like really mature. And
can you tell my wife that?
I will call
her. And my dad, everybody I know.
I think they're probably pretty happy with you.
Okay.
They stuck with you so far, right?
That's
true. And your new dad, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. But, you know, what are some of the things that you've learned as a businessman, you know, to run the business? Like, how do you, you know, not only manage your relationship with Aaron, because he is your brother-in-law, maybe some workplace culture, employee engagement strategies that you guys employ here to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of places to, because of RIT and U of Artists to some extent, there's a lot of places to work where, you know, a software a developer can go work.
Yep.
A lot of different places, right? But you've got some great ones here. What are some things that you do from a business perspective to have strategies to make sure that this is a really engaging, great place to work?
Yeah. Man, that's a loaded question. Yeah. I feel like that could be a whole day's worth of conversation. I'm sure you know that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite thing.
So I will try to pick the things that come to the top of my mind. They may not be in order, and I'm sure I'm going to look back and say, man, I wish I said something different.
I forgot to thank my mother.
Yeah. But I think one of the biggest things is integrity. So hire people with integrity. Only, you know, work with people on your team that have integrity. I think the biggest thing for us, we had so much to look ahead at, we couldn't be looking over our shoulder at the same time. So if we did everything up front and honest right from the very beginning, we wouldn't ever have to worry about an integrity issue to come back and bite us later when all we have to do is look forward. Because there's not enough time in the day, there's not enough people there's not enough money, there's not enough anything really, because it's all kind of resting on you at the time, right? I was the pseudo garbage guy, so was Aaron. You know, we're the janitors, we're the payroll guys, we were the managing creative directors. So it's kind of one of those things where you want to surround yourself with really good people. That's number one. I think we have, right? People that know what they're doing. So you don't, it's always that Steve Jobs quote, not to be cliche and quote Steve Jobs, but, you know, I didn't hire somebody to tell them what to do. I hired them, you know, to give me advice on what I should do. So hire professionals that know what they're doing and then trust it. Especially
be a servant leader.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one. I think the other thing is I'm getting back into this. So it's kind of like whatever you talk about, you kind of have to self-practice. And I kind of fell off on this. So I'm rereading this book. It's called The Time Trap by Alec McInnes. My dad, when he hired somebody, it'd be the first thing he'd give him and say, don't leave this room until you finish this book.
The Time Trap. I'm going to write this down. The Time Trap.
Yeah. And it's all about how we all have the same amount of hours in the day. Mm-hmm. So if you say to yourself, I just didn't have enough time today. Well, you didn't effectively manage your time. Yep. And time's the only resource you have to spend right now. You can't spend it later. It's right now.
Yep.
And so
it's a burning candle.
It's
right?
So it's teaching you self-discipline. And I've found that myself, I've fallen out a little bit of that self-discipline, which is a natural thing. So I kind of need to shake my tree again to strengthen my roots into that.
Hey, what are you doing on this radio show? You got time for this?
I do, because of time management, I'm able to have time to do this.
That is the right answer. That is the right answer.
I know, that's the total cliche answer. But honestly, I think especially if people listening are there entrepreneurs, you know this too. You just feel like there isn't enough time in the day. So there is, and how do you prioritize those things? And I'm so guilty of finding the lowest priority item that I want to tackle and doing that, and the high priority stuff suffers.
Yeah, and sometimes, a friend of mine, Darren Hardy, who's former publisher of Success Magazine, he said that humans have a monkey brain, and then, you know, we have the serious brain. And the monkey brain, it usually wins because you go for the thing that's more fun.
Yep.
You know, should I do this big project in a spreadsheet or should I check Facebook? Yeah. Should I go out to lunch with my friend or, you know, should I do this proposal?
Yep.
Monkey brain says, go have fun with your friend.
Yeah.
Food, you know, fun friend. So it is true that you have to be very, very disciplined. I'm going to read that book. So you talk about your father a lot. Did he own a business? How did he become such a mentor of yours as well?
He was a partner for Deloitte. He ran the tax department up here in New York.
Yeah.
So I've lived here in Rochester for 34 years since I was born.
Right.
And he ended up working for a family here that sold their business and started a private firm that managed their money.
Oh, okay.
And so he did investments. He started businesses. He ran businesses.
Yeah. He's a numbers guy too, I guess, right?
He's an accountant. So, I will say this: he's probably the most fun accountant I've ever met.
That's good.
That's why I got into accounting. So I say that, but I kind of poke myself a little bit because I took I minored in accounting. But really good. Taught me a lot about self discipline and time management. And I'm not just saying that because I don't think he's listening. But
we're going to get him to listen.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. And obviously, he learned a lot not only about numbers but about discipline. He probably in his years at Deloitte, et cetera, he probably saw a lot of what business owners do wrong, as well as, you know, do well.
Yeah.
And, you know, and able to impart that advice to you.
Yeah.
So,
It's like that, like I said earlier, leaning on people that you trust and that have integrity. And he's somebody that has integrity that I trust. And not only that, he's got more gray hair than me. So,
Have any gray hair.
He can, no, I do. It's just cut short. But he just has taught me, you know, those kinds of things in terms of when you walk with somebody. I'd say get a mentor, too. He was a mentor.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that helped me a lot.
That's great. That's excellent. So Aaron's working for his father-in-law to some extent in the beginning, right? I just thought about that. Wow, talk about the pressure.
Yeah, well, now we don't work together. So since selling the company, my father's out.
He's out.
And that was kind of the exit plan and why we worked for 10 years to get to this point.
Yeah.
He's off sailing.
I'm thinking in the beginning, though. He's like, all right, every day I show up at work, I got to make sure my brother-in-law's happy, my father-in-law's happy, or I'm in big trouble, right?
that's true, yeah.
But literally, Aaron's probably like the nicest guy in the world. So not too much to worry about, right?
He can be.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. He is. No, he's a great guy. That's why it's worked for 10 years.
Can't picture him mad. So you on the other hand, no, I'm just kidding. You're such a nice guy too. You're such a nice guy too. So what do you do well? Like what are your superpowers when it comes to owning and then running a business? What do you spend most of your time doing? Because you're not doing development.
No, I'm not doing development. And my role has shifted a little bit more. So as the company has grown, I've moved more into our sales and marketing side. So my title is the managing director. And I think when you're a business owner, managing director is a little bit different than what it is now in terms of just internally shifting. And so my main focus now is helping to market the company as well as execute on our sales. So from making sure the client is happy. So are we delivering? Do we have more Dave Mamanos out there that are happy and 8 years later can say we loved working with them or they continue to work with us? So fostering those relationships as well as, you know, sitting down with Aaron and leadership and saying, how can we grow? What are other opportunities and what are we missing? So it's really kind of sharpening what we do.
Excellent. Hey, Josh, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. I'm here with Josh Cowell from Broken Myth Studios. I'm Dave Amano with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. We'll be right back.
Open your mind with Free Talk Live. Listen weekdays from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on 1310 WOKR.
I'm Chuck Kamlick, CNBC. We've got a really big rally underway on Wall Street. The Dow is up 450 points, the NASDAQ 113, the S&P 41. Last hour, President Trump sent Congress a $4.4 trillion budget. Wall Street, obviously, is unconcerned. The Seattle Times says Amazon will cut hundreds of jobs at its headquarters there, mostly in its consumer retail business. Ford will produce more Expedition and Navigators to meet demand. Those big monster SUVs bring in bigger profits. And Ford just raised the Navigator's price by $20,000 in January. The company that makes OxyContin, cutting jobs, will stop marketing opioids to doctors directly. 14 states and several cities are suing Purdue Pharma for its ties to the opioid crisis. And it's an ugly day for Ulta Beauty. The stock is plunging because Ulta is being sued by a customer who says the company repackages and then resells used cosmetics. Chuck Kamlick, CNBC.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-603-1330. That's 800-603-1330. 800-603-1330. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
My mom's a breast cancer survivor. The United Breast Cancer Foundation saved her life. Their free breast cancer exam caught the cancer early, and it saved her life. But now the foundation needs your help so they can continue offering free or low-cost breast screening exams, saving more women's lives. Help them by donating your car, whether it's running or not. They'll provide fast, free 24-hour pickup, and you receive a charitable tax deduction, plus the great feeling you'll get knowing your donated car is going to help save more lives. Just call 800-515-3299 to set the wheels in motion. They take cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, running or not. Call 800-515-3299. The United Breast Cancer Foundation needs your help, and your donation could literally save women's lives, helping them catch breast cancer early, like they did with my mom. Donate today. 800-515-3299. That's 800-515-3299.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
All right, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano. I'm here with Josh Cowell from Broken Myth Studios. I almost said Broken Studio Myths. Broken Myth Studios. And if you're just tuning in, the name is, so, you know, what they do, what these guys do, it's very cool. So they're a gaming company, but instead of just making games for fun, they've partnered with businesses who want to infuse gamification into what they're doing. A lot of times it's training. So when you're a new employee and you have to go through a training program, let's make it fun. Why? Because they'll be more engaged. They'll enjoy the experience more. And what I love is better retention. They're actually going to remember what they learned instead of just going through the arduous process of the orientation and the training just to get through it and then get on the job and probably have to relearn everything. But if the gamification, because they have to be more involved in getting through the program, more proactive, right? Yep. They're going to remember more stuff. So that's great. So client load, are you guys, most of your clients in Rochester or beyond? What's the mix?
Yeah, so we spent the last 2 years focusing on outside relationships. There's an old adage that I think we believed for a while, which was a prophet is without honor in his hometown, right?
So never a prophet in your own lane, right?
Exactly. Yep. But so we thought, because we tried to hit Rochester companies, and then we thought, let's look elsewhere. So you kind of get outside eyes and you think, hey, we could go work over there. It'd be cool to go there. And so we just started pursuing companies we were really passionate about. Well, what we found come full circle, a lot of companies we're passionate about are here in Rochester.
Oh, wow.
So what our goal now is, especially over this year, 2018, we set a goal to just target Rochester-based companies. There's a lot of great companies here. And we get excited when we run into other entrepreneurs or other companies. There's just a lot of really cool stuff happening here. So we want to be part of that even more. And I think to some degree over the last couple of years, not that we've neglected it, but we haven't focused on it. So a big focus for us in 2018 is to just network and meet companies here. Whether they could be a client or not, it's always helpful for us to know who's out there, just to make those connections.
So what are some of your plans to network more?
Well, we're going to be at the Avanti
Wow, look at you laying that up. I love that.
He didn't even ask me to do that.
I did not.
But it is worthwhile. So if you don't have your tickets, go.
You'll be at the Avanti Entrepreneur Summit March 1st.
Yeah. So that's one thing. The other thing is there's a lot of great associations here that we just haven't tapped into. So there's always free events, there's paid events. So going to breakfast, going to dinners, going to lunches, speaking at different groups, really investing in, you know, even going to RIT and meeting students at RIT, because we hire a lot of students from RIT. So going to the career fairs, just trying to find almost more grassroots ways to be connected with people as opposed to, you know, just, hey, let's buy this list. Let's get out there and be in front of people. That's where I like to be anyways.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and some things that I'm doing that I'll share with you. So I'm a member of Rochester Rotary, which is one of the largest Rotary chapters in the country, believe it or not. It's one of the oldest and largest. You can be my guest if you want to come.
Yeah, I'd love to come.
And I have to say two other great things. The Chamber of Commerce. Bob Duffy's been on the show. Fantastic organization. And another thing is the Small Business Council, which is you know, involved with the Chamber. Kind of partner sister organizations there. Ray Isaac is a friend of mine, has been on the show as well. He's the current board president. So these are all great networking opportunities that you're welcome to be my guest at anything.
I would love to go wherever you go. I will go.
I'm honored. I'm honored.
I say that with an asterisk, but most places you go.
Most places. 90%. Yes. Thank you very much. So what do you do to stay cutting edge and fresh? I mean, it seems like you're a reader. You read The Time Trap. Are there are you a reader on a regular basis, or what are some of your favorite books to share?
I love to read. It's hard finding time. So last year I read more than I read in 2016, and this year I'm going to read more than I have in 2017.
You're finding time from The Time Trap.
Exactly.
When do you find time to read?
I try to read now when I go home. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, I guess when I go home, but in the evening. So when we put our son down to bed, you know, around 9 o'clock, I read till 11 or so. Or I mean, that's lofty, right? I don't read for 2 hours, but within that 2 hour window, that's usually where I find my time to read. And then one thing I've started blocking out doing is when I get in, I'm going to get in here about 20 minutes early each day and just spend that time reading what I want to put together. So I think you have to carve out the time to do it. And I haven't been as much.
Got
to
schedule it.
Yeah.
Got to schedule it. What I have done lately is I've gotten rid of my to-do list and I just put it in my calendar.
Yeah, that's
I've
a good thing too.
Schedule the time. You know, they say if you schedule it, it gets done. And if I have to miss it, I'll just reschedule it.
Yep.
You know, so I had this list of like 10 things that were on my, and they were on my list for like a week, 2 weeks.
Yep.
I said, you know what? I'm just going to schedule time for them. And sometimes it's Saturday morning. Sometimes it's Wednesday night at 9.
Yep.
But that's my time. That's my time. And I actually, you're going to laugh, I actually scheduled things that I just want to do every day. So if I get up in the morning, I don't have to think.
No, that's really smart.
Yeah, I get up in the morning, and what I want to do every morning is I want to start the day with a prayer.
Yep.
I want to meditate. I want to read. I want to exercise. And I schedule these things.
Yeah.
I also like groggy waking up at 5. I just open up my calendar. All right, here's what I'm supposed to do.
Sounds like you wrote this book.
Is that right?
No,
I didn't read it yet.
But you're doing all that stuff. So the thing I've started to do too is I've started to tag tasks, high, medium, and low, and then I associate a time with them. So during my work day, I'm only scheduling 5, maybe 6 hours worth of tasks.
Yeah.
Even though I'm going to be here for 8 to 10 hours in the day, I'm only blocking out half my day that way because I know something's going to come up.
Yeah.
And if I get through my whole list and I still have time, great. Let's move on to the next day's worth of items.
Right.
But then I've got things planned out to where I'm actually getting the highest priority stuff done. Similar to what you're saying, if you schedule them and you don't do them, it's a self-discipline.
Yeah.
You can. I've built a great calendar before of what I should do, and I've totally blown it up and not done it. Yeah. So.
Well, and the thing is, I always fail when I rely on my own discipline, you know, because I'm like, you know, I want to work out every day for an hour, but I'll forget or things happen.
Yep.
But if it just becomes like a scheduled habit, I don't even think about it. Like I know I brushed my teeth this morning, but did I really, think about the fact that I was going to brush my teeth this morning? No, I just did it.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, my wife asked me because we have some young kids, and she asked me my routine, you know, brushing teeth, shaving, showering, like what order do I do it in? Because we're trying to teach my son some good habits, you know? And I had to think about it. I'm like, all right, what order do I, like, I couldn't even remember because it's just become a habit. I think the idea is to make these other things become a habit too. You don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know, like before you know it's 6 a.m., I'm on the treadmill. Wow. I didn't even think, I'm just here. You know?
Yeah. And sometimes habits can be things that get in the way.
Yeah.
You've always done something this way.
Right.
So it doesn't feel right if you don't. some of those could be bad habits that are getting in the way of your productivity.
You become your own bottleneck.
Exactly. So that that's kind of what I'm trying to shake out too. So it's beneficial. Even write down, what is my routine?
Mm-hmm.
And then, wow, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I just do, right? So being thoughtful about it is what I'm trying to get back to, because I find myself in the end of the day, maybe it's because I'm a new dad. I want to spend more time at home.
Yeah.
So I want to accomplish more at work so I don't have to be here as much, right? I still have to be, but I want to make sure my time's efficient while I'm here, not just I'm away from my son for a reason, and that's why.
Yeah. And your wife.
And my wife.
Yeah.
She knows. She knows she's my number one.
You're good. You're good. Well, you know, so I tell the story a lot. When I first started my company, I met this guy named Jay Goltz, mm-hmm. who's a very successful businessman in Chicago. He's got like five businesses. He's been on the cover of Inc. as the coolest small business in America back about 15 years ago. And when I met him, I just called him because I read about him and wanted to meet him. He became a mentor of mine. And he tells me a story that when he was starting out in the 70s, he went to a big event. And it was a big, like, Inc. magazine or one of those big events, you know. And I won't say who the speaker was, you know, protect the name here. But it was one of the most famous worldwide entrepreneurs of the day. So Jay went to this event, this business event, saw the speaker. And he's a rock star entrepreneur, world famous entrepreneur, right? And probably, you know, the Steve Jobs of his day, or maybe in today's world, the Jeff Bezos of his day.
Yeah.
And so Jay is he's very curious, he's very inquisitive. And he, after the talk, he went up to the guy's assistant, somehow he found him. And he said, hey, I'm just wondering, obviously he's a great business success, what are his kids like? Which is a very interesting question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the assistant was like, is this off the record? And Jay's like, oh, yeah, I'm not a reporter, just between you and me. And so the assistant said, well, since you're asking, you know, it's a good question. They're not good. They're not doing too well. Yeah. And the assistant started to walk away, turned around and came back. And he goes, you know, since you asked, I really got to be honest with you. They're really, and I'm going to abbreviate, effed up, right? and Jay was like, you know, one was on drugs, one didn't want to talk to him. You know, so Jay took from that, here is a world famous, massively successful business person.
Yeah.
But failed in the family department. Hmm. And how would that break your heart, right? So like massive business success, but your kids are on drugs, they don't want to talk to you, your family's a failure.
It's horrible.
And so Jay, you know, the advice to me from Jay was make sure that you're well-rounded in all the areas.
Yeah.
That mean a truly successful entrepreneur can go home and have a successful family. Kids are doing well. You're healthy.
Yeah.
You know, he also said you see some entrepreneurs, great business people, but you're wondering, is that guy going to die tomorrow? You know, he's like 100 pounds overweight, right?
Yeah.
And so truly being successful in all areas, that is the true success, in my opinion, you know, because of Jay's advice of a successful entrepreneur. Yeah, they got a great business. But you know what? You look behind the curtain, their kids are functioning good kids.
Yeah.
And family life is good. And they're also healthy mentally and physically.
And there's more to life than just work.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, work.
It's fun. It's a game.
Yeah. Work comes and goes. Companies don't last forever. Right?
Yeah, no. Speaking of Ben DeGeorge again, I had him on the show last week. He read a book where 100 years ago, they talked about the country's top 100 companies,
mm-hmm.
and only four of them are left.
Hmm.
So 100 years ago, the most successful 100 companies in the country, only four are left.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it makes you think, I love business. I mean, it's a game for me. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I get to do something that I love to do for a living, so I'm very happy. But at the end of the day, guess what? I'm going to go home 5:30. I have three cute little kids and a wife. I want to have dinner with them.
Yeah.
You know, my 6-year-old last night, he wanted to play hide and go seek with me.
Yeah.
And guess what I did for half an hour? Played hide and go seek.
You know, it's interesting you say that too. That's the one thing that we want to do. What my wife is a stickler on is we will eat together dinner every night. And I remember my father, he'd come home, he'd work, and then or he'd come home, eat dinner, and then if he had to, he'd go back to work. But this was after he got his family time in. And I do think there's something to that, being able to spend time with your family, you have to carve it out because they're only awake from, you know, 5 to 8:30, or, you know, depending on what their bedtime is, you know, maybe they stay up later. But the idea there is you don't have a whole lot of time with them.
Yeah.
So take that time, because it's also good for you mentally.
Couldn't agree more. In today's harried world, especially as your son gets older, with sports and activities, the daily dinner, the evening dinner, I think it's the most important time of the day.
Yep.
It's the one time that the whole family can come together, maybe cook together, clean up together, talk, your chance to give advice, share thoughts from the day. So being Italian, it's just like, we wouldn't even consider not having dinner together. We were actually shocked a few years ago when we found out that a lot of families don't. A lot of families, like, quick on the fly, eating here and there because they have lacrosse and soccer and blah, blah, blah. And like, dinner is not a regular occurrence. And it was a little bamboozling to me, because I'm like, what do you mean they don't have dinner together every night? It is. I think it's the one rhythm that a family should do without question. I think it's one of the most important rhythms you can do. So
yeah, my wife too, I think through that, she's been my biggest supporter more than anybody else, even in the business.
Yeah.
Just because we took time, even when we didn't have a kid, and now he eats in our lap because he's so little.
Yeah.
But, you know, even then we would always still have dinner together, and that's a carved out time. You can get things off your chest you can't normally talk about. So it's a good thing. So she's been the biggest, I would say, support.
Smart woman. Smart woman. Well, and your dad used to go back to work. I mean, in today's world, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, people go to bed. You can sit on the couch and just continue to work, right? So you don't have to go back to work. I do it every night. At 9 o'clock, people start to fade. I break out my laptop and I'm answering my stupid emails. Josh, believe it or not, we're out of time.
Oh, man, this was great.
Was that fast or
what? Yeah, this was awesome.
I got to tell you. So I'm here, folks, I'm here with Josh Kyle from Broken Myth Studios. And Josh, last but not least, if people want to get in touch with you.
Sure.
Just to learn, grow, maybe do business with you, what's the best way?
They can email me directly if they want. That's just jcowell@bms.uti.edu. We also have a contact form on our website that we'll see as well. It might be easier, but always welcome to converse with anybody. I love learning from other people.
Great. So. And if you didn't catch that, you can always email me at david@davidmamano.com, and I'll be glad to connect you. So, Josh, thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man, especially with the new baby, so I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Great to know you all these years. And congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
Selling the company. Big bag of money at home, and still get to run the company, right?
I think one of those is not.
You've always been a good, modest man, Josh. I love that about you. So thanks again, and thank you, Avanti listeners, for listening to the show. Appreciate your time. And if you or somebody you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com, and Mamano is spelled M-A-M-M-A-N-O. Make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.